Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Well, at least Mike Brennan, Matt, has the flu. It seems to be going around. Everybody's catching the flu. Well, now it's his turn. So we have standing by, calling in from Rochester. It's Amy Butler with OU. That's Oakland University's incubator. How you doing today, Amy?
I'm doing great. Thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, no problem. If you go to my website, you'll see some video I shot last week of Amy talking about a big event coming up. I believe the dates are April 7th through 9th, which is the Innovation Weekend at the OU Inc. Why don't you tell us all about it, Amy?
Well, first of all, it's a pretty intensive weekend, and it's designed for people that have an idea or would like to find a team to join, or even a business, a startup business that has been working on their idea for a while. And it's a real intensive weekend of both education, learning, and hands-on experience working with coaches where they can really develop out their business model. They'll be able to practice communications to investors, to obtaining talent, and to even finding that first customer. So those are some of the things that we'll be doing during the weekend.
And the cost?
The New Economy Initiative has been gracious enough to help support the funding of this particular one, and we have some good sponsors we're working with, so there is no charge for participants. And the food is included in the weekend.
Wow, probably liquor too, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay, darn. That would attract a bigger audience.
Mike.
If you had an open bar, they'd be beating down the doors to get in. So when does it actually start on Friday? Is it Friday night, Friday afternoon?
Yeah, it starts at Friday afternoon around 5 to 5:30. You can register at medtechplus.eventbrite.com, and it goes through the evening Friday. It's all day Saturday and all day Sunday with a reception at the end of the afternoon, including pitches to our esteemed panel of judges.
Wow. That's a very long. So total time sounds like somewhere in the ballpark of 18 or 20 hours, somewhere around there, right?
Probably almost 24.
24 hours. Okay. And so is this the first time you've done this?
Yes, this is the first time that the Oakland University Incubator has been able to offer such a program as this. The company that we're partnering with is actually in the Netherlands this past weekend, presenting the same program over there. So it's an international program, was developed for that purpose, and it also has been supported through the National Science Foundation. So it's a well-known program that has already went through over 2,000 teams. So we're really excited to be able to bring this kind of a quality of a program to Michigan and have people participate.
So hopefully people that are attending won't have to speak Dutch, though, right? This will be in English.
No, I think this is going to be in English.
Okay, good, good. Had me worried there. I knew just a few Dutch phrases, and you wouldn't want to hear them on the radio. So
we can have them talk to some of our German companies or some of our Italian companies.
Yeah, that sounds good. So 2,000 teams have gone through this, but what's the end result? Of all those teams, do you have any idea how many of them have successfully commercialized a product or service or anything like that?
I don't have those results because I haven't been involved in all of those previous opportunities. It is a program that definitely, they will come, whoever participates in it's going to come out with value on the end regardless. And it might be that it's a learning program for them and they're going back to their other team to work with their other team. That's perfectly fine. It may be that they're exploring a new idea, or maybe they're an existing company that's been around for a while and they just want to figure out how to put a new product or a new innovation into the marketplace.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask is, I've got a great idea, and that's as far as I've got with it. Can I attend this event?
Absolutely, you can. There will be quite a bit of focus on technology. There will be a focus on med health, but it's not limited that by any means. We brought quite a diversity in as far as our coaches and mentors. so that we'll be able to handle any kind of idea, really, in the technology space, and be able to work with them and help them advance that concept, get them prepared to pitch.
Okay. And then is there, when you're a certain level of a company, more advanced, is there a cutoff or anything like that? If you're already commercialized, if you're already making money with the product, can you still attend?
You can still attend. In fact, I think that there's a tremendous value because you never stop learning in the entrepreneurship world. And opportunities to get in front of coaches, opportunities to pitch to our judges. Our judges represent venture capital, angel capital, strategic partners, other kinds of funders, service providers. And they're going to have that opportunity to actually pitch to those parties at the end of the workshop. So regardless of what point you're at in your development, there's always opportunities to gain from being able to work with private coaches and being able to really focus and take a weekend and focus on your business. It's a lot of times people are running in so many directions, they just need some time to sit and really focus on developing the business piece.
I suppose the other value in this would be if you're really pretty much at the concept stage, you may find people there with different skill sets that you need for your project going forward. And you could almost, it's like one of those, I forget what they call it, something weekend, where there's a group out of Seattle that does it. I'm drawing a blank here on the name. But they get a bunch of people together for an intensive 72-hour weekend, and all sorts of stuff come out of it at the end. So that might be part of the value as well, right?
This is very much like a startup weekend.
Thank you. I couldn't remember the name.
The one distinction is that we put more focus on coaching and we put more focus on the educational component. So startup weekend, you're still focusing in teams with ours. You're still working very heavily. You know, we're going to get you talking to some customers and stuff. You will meet other talent. That's a great, great opportunity. But there's a little bit more education, a little more structure to it than there is in a startup weekend.
Yeah. Okay, great. So let's talk a little bit about Oakland University's incubator. Now, this may be the first time a lot of folks have ever heard of it. So here's your chance to do a shameless pitch. Go ahead. Tell us all about it.
Well, we really help people develop their ideas, fuel their passion, and follow their dream. We do that by helping technology-based companies assemble the resources they need, figure out what decisions they need to make when, and help them develop a strategy and a path that's going to get them to commercialization and help them to build their business and to grow their business.
Okay, and how does that work now? Do folks have to be students at Oakland University to participate or not?
Absolutely not. We do work with some student teams, but we'd work with any team. In fact, we are an international incubator, and we have 7 companies here from other countries. So we are an international soft landing. So we work with companies that are looking for that kind of service where we have an expertise and a value proposition that's going to help accelerate them to market. We work a lot in the med device area, digital health, information technology, energy, and mobility.
And if somebody's interested in signing up, not so much for this innovation weekend coming up, but you know, they want to get plugged into your incubator, how would one do that?
Oh, they can go to our website. It's very simple, oakland.edu/OUINC.
And excuse me, once they do that, then was there a sign-up mechanism there or more information?
Yeah, you just click on the Become a Client.
Ah, okay.
And become a client, and you come right into our database, and we'll schedule a meeting with you to get to know you and look and see if we're the best fit for you. If we're not the best fit, we're going to make sure that we walk you to one of our strategic partners because we have a whole alliance in Oakland County between a number of us service providers that really serve our entrepreneurship ecosystem here. So if you're not a good fit here, then we're going to help you get where you are.
Oh, okay, great. And then I must admit, that was the first time that I was at your incubator last week when I was out there. And it sort of surprised me initially because it's an old horse farm, isn't it?
It is. It's the horse riding arena from the Matilda Dodge Wilson Estate. The university is built on the estate of Matilda Dodge Wilson. So we're really fortunate to be able to put back into innovation the facility we have. And that's one of the unique characteristics about the incubator is the space that we have. The companies are all together. The companies are able to interact with each other and really have an opportunity to learn and support each other as they grow their businesses.
Yeah, I know. I walked briefly into what I think was the old paddock area. And besides the rubberized floor there, it was really high ceilings, lots of light, kind of a different approach because I've been in lots of incubators and they tend to remind me of my old newspaper office, just a bunch of pods, you know, kind of you don't see much of the outside. That was certainly not the case at your incubator.
Yeah, our space is very unique. And the fact that we have a number of international companies as well just creates a very unique and distinguished environment.
Okay. Well, let's go back and talk about that Innovation Weekend one more time. We've got about 3 minutes left to go over that one more time for people that may have missed part of it coming in at the beginning. It's coming up on April 7th through 9th, and walk them through it again. And talk about what the criteria are, which is pretty broad.
The criteria is really quite broad. If you are a person in the technology area, you're a researcher or a student or an innovator, or you already have a business and you're looking at creating a new technology, any kind of technology startup, then would love to have you join us for the weekend, an intensive weekend of education and hands-on experiential learning. Where we focus on technology, financials, communication, teaching you how to communicate your business model, helping you develop that business model, and getting you ready to be able to go out and talk about it.
Now, I know you only have 50 spots open. Where do you stand right now? How many openings do you still have if somebody's interested?
I know that we're already up in the high 30s, so it's filling up very fast.
So don't wait. Act now, right?
Right. Right.
And again,
definitely sign up.
Okay. And again, now the beauty of it is no charge. The NEI is paying for this as well as some other sponsors. I don't think you throw in the motel rooms. Other than that, everything else is covered,
nope.
Right?
Right.
Okay, good. And give them that sign up address one more time, Amy Butler from Oakland University.
It's MedTech Plus, all one word. Eventbrite.com. Oh. And we'd love to see you sign up and love to have you come.
And for those that want more information that didn't get it out of this podcast, I don't know how you couldn't have not got enough information, but we also have a video up on my website where Amy is talking about what's going on with that program. We invite you to take a look at it. But right now, we're going to have to wrap this segment. This is Mike Brennan with Amy Butler from Oakland University, and you've been listening to M Squared TechCast. It's Mike Brennan. Matt Roush is out with the flu today. We've all been passing that around here in the studio, so I think we've all had it at least once. And we have on the line calling in from Grand Rapids our old friend Keith Brophy, who's the state director for the Michigan, I'm going to get it right this time, Michigan Small Business Development Center.
That's right. Thanks, Mike.
Lots of acronyms. I'm trying to keep all the acronyms straight in my head. I know I have on my lineup here, I have Marlene Molwick, but I think we changed guests. So why don't you introduce who you have on the show today, Keith?
Sure. Today we have a most interesting business in one of the Michigan celebrates recently announced 50 companies to watch, a towel tracker. And we have Stephen Mulwick, the founder and currently functioning as COO of Towel Tracker. So, Stephen, are you with us?
No. Yes.
And we may not
Jessica's
have Stephen on the line with us.
Jessica's shaking her head that he's supposed to be here. Are you there? Hello? No?
Stephen, he may be in the process of dialing in.
All right. Well, why don't you talk a little bit about the company, Keith, and then when he comes in, you can finish the interview.
Yeah. I'll be glad to. Towel Tracker is a business that has a mission, very much as its name describes, to track towels. It uses a technology-based approach to tracking towels at fitness clubs, hotels and resorts, water parks, and their approach provides a check-in stand, essentially, where users can scan in with a card, like their hotel card, for example, take one or more towels from the stand, and then proceed to use the towels, and they're electronically tracked. You know, they're registered on checkout, and then when the guest is done using the towels, they return them, and they can likewise then be checked in. It gives the hotel or fitness club or water park the ability to know exactly where the towels are, whether they're checked out, whether they're returned. So it's a loss prevention approach, but it also has additional layers of benefit for the customers that build their approach around this, including a very interesting analytics approach. So those are the kind of things that we wanted to ask Stephen about today, and hear about the origination of this company, but also how they've progressed. They've been around for 5 years now, so they're out of the gates and often and running with this business concept, and have built up considerable momentum and client base at this point.
Okay, well, you might want to send him a quick email or text. In the meantime, I've seen his presentation. Like you said, he's been around for about 5 years. So I've been at several different events. I've been at Grand Angels where he presented one time. So I'm pretty familiar with the concept, which in the beginning I thought it was a little kind of crazy. But the more he presented, the more I thought about it, the more that I thought, yeah, well, this makes a lot of sense. And one of the things he mentioned or has mentioned in previous presentations is that instead of somebody just grabbing an armful of towels and, you know, maybe not using them all or wasting them or whatever, they don't use as many towels. This is a big cost savings for whichever company is using the machines. It's really quite a thing.
Yeah, there's some testimonies out on the website from clients, and you know, one of them, for example, states that with the slightly shifted usage model, when the guests know that they're using a towel that's tracked, it saved $20,000 a year for one business on overhead cost of managing towels alone. The other thing that I thought was striking was that this is the perfect example of a business sparked with a technology transformation, a better way through technology. And often the simpler those are, the more it can seem questionable whether the cost savings is really there. And I think in the case of Towel Tracker, the answer is an overwhelming yes. The history that Towel Tracker provides on their website talks about one of Stephen's inspirations for the business came when he was talking with a business owner of a fitness club, and the owner shared that about 3,500 towels a month were disappearing from club members that walked away with them. So the cost of that one single fitness club was about $50,000 a year, and it was insights like that that got Stephen's wheels turning that there must be a better way.
Now, stand by. Jessica's saying, is Stephen on the line?
No, I'm I'm trying to get him to, but I lost him there. Hold on just a sec.
Hang on. We're trying to bring him in. He must be calling in from Antarctica or something, right? So,
hey, are you guys there?
Oh, okay. There we go. All right.
Hold on.
So,
I could hear you. You couldn't hear me. So
oh, okay.
Must be the coconut express.
All right. So you got to stretch that that tin can line a little bit tighter, and then we'll be okay. Keith and I were talking about your business. I'm very familiar with it. I've seen you present before. But why don't you, Keith, go ahead, step in here, and let's find out how he's doing now.
All right. So ready when you are, Keith.
All right. I'm trying to get the calls to merge, but that's...
Oh, did we lose Keith now?
Yeah, it's not letting me do it.
Having problems with the board today. Well, let me play the role of Keith. You've been listening in. You've been hearing what we've been talking about. So talk a little bit. Update the story. Where do you stand now? I know you've been around a long time pitching this, and it's been progressing, but I have no idea where you stand other than I guess you made the 50 companies to watch, so I know what the criteria is for that. So you got to be doing pretty good, right?
Yes, we are. We're growing quite a bit. We started the company in 2009, and it's kind of grown from there. In 2013, we started to commercialize the company. And now last year we hit sales, which were high enough to put us into the top 50. And now we're growing into several key markets that I had never envisioned in the past, such as hospitality. I envisioned it more for the health club market, but if you want, I can give you a quick synopsis and your listeners a synopsis of how the system works. And then we can kind of go from there while we're waiting for Keith to get patched in.
Yeah, we're trying to get Jessica's working on that. So why don't you go ahead and run with that ball and tell us all about that.
All right. So what the towel tractor does is it's basically two vending size pieces of equipment. It's got a clean side and a return side. And on the clean side, let's say you're in a health club or a hotel, you scan your membership or your room key on the system, and it checks to make sure you're a valid guest or member, and it unlocks the door, and you can take out as many towels as you need. You close the door, and what happens is the scanner fires up, and it looks for the missing information because each towel has an RFID tag embedded into it. And so we knew how many tags there were beforehand. And then once the door closes, it scans the cabinet and it looks for the missing information. So if there was a 200 towels in there, now there's 197. Says which three are gone, takes those specific three towels, and then assigns it to either that hotel room number or the guest at the gym. And the cool part is when they're done using the towel, they can return it back to the return side and it comes off the room charge or the charge for their guest membership. So that's kind of how it started out. And how I invented the system was I previously owned a commercial laundry. And one of the local fitness clubs here in Grand Rapids was losing about 50,000 towels a year.
Wow.
So this is a huge cost. And I thought if it's that bad here, it's got to be worse elsewhere. And boy, was I right. And this created... And what I saw was a huge opportunity to motivate me to invent this product. Now, here in West Michigan, we've got a lot of horsepower, and we were able to figure out how to do this. The experts in the RFID industry told us that we could never do this, and we did it here in West Michigan. I know other companies have spent hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to try to create this, and we broke the code here in Michigan. But basically, I can kind of move into, since you don't have Keith on to ask questions, I can keep moving along.
Yeah, go ahead. You're doing a great job there. Just let's talk about how far you've come along. Can you give me some ballpark figures on sales or any kind of guidance along those lines?
Sure. Last year we had over $1 million in sales.
Wow.
And this year, a lot of it's carrying over into this year. And so we're growing quite a bit. Most of our main companies that purchase from us are your Hiltons and your Hyatts and Wyndham Resorts. The big resorts are all starting to purchase from us and pay attention because we can show them some huge savings. Just to give you some simple numbers, we've got just one Hilton hotel. We save them just in pool towel theft alone almost $96,000 a year.
Holy cow.
Yeah, and that doesn't even include other things such as laundry savings, which we'll get to in a minute or two. But typical Wyndham, 600 guest rooms, you're looking at 2,400 over or 24,000 a year in pool towel replacement costs. I mean, the numbers are staggering how expensive this really becomes. If you kind of track back with me of why I invented the system, one of our first fitness clubs that bought this system was Genesis Athletic over in Grand Blanc. And they were spending $60,000 a year replacing their towels. And so now I think they're at somewhere around $12,000 or $18,000 a year replacing their towels. So as you can see in the towel replacement area, it's just a huge savings. But one of the things that I'm going to also add to that is what we see is not only does the towel theft drop by 95%, what happens is people walk up to the stack of towels and they take about a third to a half as many towels because they've got to get them back into the system.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I've got six people in my family, so we would typically take maybe 10 or 12 towels or something like that. And that's just the nature of the beast. We all do it at a hotel or a health club. But when you've got to get them back into the system, it changes your thinking on how many towels you need. So, you know, if we go into a health club, such as Genesis Athletic, where they were losing $60,000 a year in towels, we're also saving them in the labor and the laundry costs of doing those towels. And that can be just as high or higher. So, you know, a typical fitness club can see savings of over $100,000 a year by putting a towel tracker in.
Okay, we only got about 2 minutes left. So let's talk a little bit about how the machine has a cost. What does it cost?
Typical machine costs vary due to indoor, outdoor models, and so on and so forth, but it's generally between $38,000 to $45,000 per set, and most of our clients get their money back in well under a year.
Okay, good. And you've got them all excited out there. If they want to find out more information, how do they do that? Where do they go?
Toweltracker.com.
Okay, and should they contact you? You're the prez, right?
Yep, they can contact me. Feel free to call in, and you know, they'll be able to get a hold of me, and I'm happy to field any questions and go from there.
Okay, we're having problems with our board. Probably Keith is listening, but for some reason we can't bring him in. So we'll get that fixed. So next time around, we won't have that issue. I'm not sure exactly what's happening. One of those days where the cosmos is not lined up correctly or something. But we have with
no
us.
No problem.
No problem. Yeah. And Steve Mulwick, he's the president of Towel Tracker. And this has been the MISBDC segment. And I'm just filling in for Keith. And we'll be right back with more from Podcast Detroit. Mike Brennan, we're back. Matt is out sick today with the flu, so you're stuck with me, so I'll do the best that I can. We have calling in Melissa Sheldon, a senior research analyst at the Workforce Intelligence Network for Southeast Michigan. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be back.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about you. What you're going to be talking about, I think I've already reported at MI Tech News, and I think you have an event coming up at the end of the week. It's about this connected and automated vehicle report, CAV report, that you guys released in association with the Atlas Center at the University of Michigan Transportation Research Institute. Did I get that right?
You did.
Okay.
Congrats. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, that's... last week I was on medication, so I'm not sure I could have done that. But this week I'm okay.
Right.
So anyway,
yeah, good job.
So I think you have an event coming up at the end of this week, right? Fill me in on that.
Yeah. So we're releasing this report, and I just wanted to kind of back up and provide some information on what this actually is and how we got started.
Yeah.
Sure. In this area of work. So when we received a grant from the Department of Defense Office of Economic Adjustment to help diversify the defense industry here in Southeast Michigan. So primary objective was to assist the workers that were affected by reduction in procurement in our area. And we really want to make sure that we're keeping skilled workers here. So as a result of reduced spending in the past, we saw a lot of skilled workers that found themselves maybe looking for other opportunities, and we want to try to diversify what their skills are and keep them right here as new technologies are implemented. So with this particular grant, we are focused on connected and automated vehicles, so what we're talking about now, also lightweight metals, and IT, particularly in the cybersecurity space. So definitely related to connected and automated vehicles as well.
Okay. And so this report, what the purpose of the report then is to sort of identify the skills, the jobs that they are going to be acquired for the connected and automated, connected and automated vehicles that are, you know, quickly being developed here in Michigan?
Absolutely. So we wanted to look at the occupations related to connected and automated vehicles and identify the skill gaps that exist. These are new occupations. They don't even exist federally when it comes to occupational codes yet. So it's something that is really new, but workers are already starting to explore this space as this technology is ramping up. So the purpose is who are the workers that are being impacted and what skills are employers going to need them to learn in addition to maybe the skills that they have already.
Okay. And so what are the key findings in the report? What are those skills that are needed?
Well, as you can imagine, the workers related to connected and automated vehicles are from a wide array of occupations. So that is, it indicates a difficulty in identifying a specific skill set for training. We've got, if you think about this category or space, we're looking at engineering, testing, quality control. We're looking at infrastructure, IT components, and then, not to mention the actual building and repair of these vehicles. So lots and lots of different occupations are going to be impacted as a result. And it's really hard to say, there's just this XYZ set of skills that everybody needs to have in addition to what they're already learning, to be a manufacturing technician or to be a software developer. So we're learning that we don't know a whole lot about the space yet because it's new, but that it's going to be a little harder to identify than some of the more clear-cut occupation groups out there. And it's still in development. So like I mentioned earlier, there's no federal occupation code for anything related to connected and automated vehicles yet. The occupations are new. So there's not really any good data out there on these workers. The closest thing we can get is job posting data, which gives us an idea of what employers are looking for if they're posting jobs for individuals with skills and they're mentioning connected and automated vehicles or things like that. And that obviously doesn't paint the whole picture. Not everyone posts their jobs online or You know, there's limitations to that data, but it's the best that we have available right now.
Okay, so on that basis, what sort of recommendations can Wynn make or would Wynn make?
Yeah, so there are lots of recommendations in the space for different purposes, specific to workforce, though. Employers can be working together because there are so many different occupations impacted. Working together to create a common set of requirements for workers in this space is really important. It helps identify those foundational skills that everyone working with connected and automated vehicles needs to know. And then the rest can be taught maybe on the job or through some other training related to other skills, depending on, you know, if they're working in IT or if they're actually building these vehicles. So employers working together is a big recommendation. And cross-training is another one. So helping the current workforce, cross-training, working with other employers or education institutions and training the workers that they have to fill these jobs as they become available. That will do a lot to upskill the current workforce, which is another one of the findings. Job postings that are referencing connected and automated vehicles are looking for a lot of experience and a high level of education, which if you think about it, is really interesting, because how can you have a lot of experience, you know, 5+ years experience working in connected and automated vehicles, and it hasn't been around that long?
Yeah, so interesting dilemma. How do you solve that?
Yeah, so we think that cross training is going to be something that will be of a definite value for employers as they're getting deeper into this space. I think a lot of times when employers post something like, you know, I need a high level of education or a lot of experience, they're really looking for someone who's more mature or can learn quickly. So it's something where if you have the skills, they can just keep adding on to them. So yeah, definitely need to work together on that.
So
regulations will also need to be in place that allow for more companies to test connected and automated vehicles on roadways and in real life situations. So that's another recommendation. It's hard to train workers when most of this space is still in that research and development phase. There's not really been a whole lot of real world application. So as that continues to develop, we will know more about what's going on in this space and what workers actually need to know in order to be successful.
Yeah, I know that the Army's TACOM division last summer did an experiment on I-69, I believe, between Lansing and Flint. I'm not sure how many miles it was, where there was a convoy of Army trucks that were essentially, well, the lead truck was guiding the four or five behind them that were all being guided autonomously. So I know it's very, very beginning stages of all this. Certainly we have M-City at the University of Michigan, where they've been playing around with this for a couple of years now, trying to get it together. And then we have the big Willow One facility coming online in another year or so. So very important that we find people to staff up all these different facilities where they're doing this R&D, right?
Absolutely. And we know, we live in this area. In Southeast Michigan, we have a strong workforce. We have a lot of skilled individuals. So we're definitely poised to take on this type of work. And we're great at building cars. We can engineer and build the best in the world. So I think working together and figuring out exactly what these foundational skills will be on the employer side will help the community colleges and the four-year institutions, the tech centers, vocational tech centers, will all be more prepared to train these workers. But really, I think it will just be in addition to training that people are already pursuing or already working in.
Okay. And where can people find the report? Is the report available online?
It is. So the full report is downloadable from our website, which is win-cmich.org. It's S-E-M-I-C-H.org. And once you're there, right on our homepage, you'll see a link to the Connected and Automated Vehicle Report. You'll find the full report there along with the executive summary if you just want the brief read. And it, as well as any media outlets that have picked the story up in different newspaper articles, periodicals that are out there.
Okay, and then to top that off, you're going to be having this meeting. I don't call the date off the top of my head. I think it's March 31st, isn't it?
Yeah, so the event, we released this report. And I'm not sure, maybe you're referring to the Oakland County did a complimentary report that took a look at, they surveyed employers and did an analysis of employer needs in this space that was released at an event on March 21st.
Maybe that's what I'm confusing. I was part of the impression that that Wynn had an event coming up, a morning event coming up at the end of this week, but maybe I'm wrong on that.
Yeah, the Oakland folks, we were definitely there supporting their reports, complimentary to ours, and that was released on the 21st. So that one is also available, and we have links to that through our social media pages if anyone follows that, where you can check out that report and see the responses to those employer surveys. But yeah, that was definitely a big event, an excellent report.
Okay. Why don't we talk a little bit about the Workforce Intelligence Network? This could be the first time anyone's heard of that. So why don't you tell folks a little bit about it?
Absolutely. So the Workforce Intelligence Network is a partnership of community colleges and Michigan Works agencies throughout Southeast Michigan. We cover 16 county area. And for those listening that are familiar with the Prosperity regions, we encompass the 16 counties that make up regions 6, 9, and 10. So the Detroit Metro, Ann Arbor Metro area, and as far west as Jackson, Hillsdale, Lenawee. Those counties are on up through the thumb. We have three primary areas of focus, one being data and research, access to quality data, help people make better decisions when it comes to workforce and talent topics, employer engagement, and then we also dabble in policy when it comes to access to data and quality of data. So,
and again,
please feel free to check out our website.
Yeah, again, why don't you give that website address one more time?
Sure. It's win-semich.org.
Okay. And we've been talking to Melissa Sheldon, who's a senior research analyst at the Workforce Intelligence Network of Southeast Michigan, talking about the new report that just came out about the skills that will be needed to service the connected and automated vehicle industry, which is rapidly developing here in Southeast Michigan. So you've been listening to M Squared TechCast on the Podcast Detroit Network. We'll be right back with Mike Rogers from the Small Business Administration of Michigan. He'll be talking about some exciting events coming up with them, but stand by. We'll be back. it's Mike Brennan, and we're coming back for our fourth segment. We have Michael Rogers, longtime friend from the Association of Michigan. How you doing today, Mike?
I am doing great. It's a great Monday for entrepreneurs all across the state of Michigan.
Yeah, lots of exciting stuff to talk about. So one of them, let's get right into the 50 companies to watch, I think on Friday, because I know I posted that. And you guys are pretty heavily involved in that along with the Michigan Small Business Development Center. So that big event will be coming up in May?
It is May 4th at the Lansing Center. And as you said, Mike, our association has been involved since the beginning of Michigan Celebrates in picking the Michigan 50 companies to watch. Such a dynamic group of fast-growing second-stage companies all across the state, many of whom, of course, are tech companies and such a vibrant part of our economy. And a big portion of the awards program, in addition to the Michigan 50 companies to watch, is the Innovation Award, which is selected by the Small Business Association of Michigan. And this year, we announced that OPS Solutions in Wixom is the Innovation Award winner for pretty high-tech tool. It's called a Light Guide System, augmented reality that projects it's actually kind of hard to describe verbally, so I recommend your listeners go to their website, but it projects a digital operating canvas onto a work surface.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really great stuff for training and employee skill enhancement. So just a wonderful, dynamic, innovative kind of a product. We're proud to present them with the Innovation Award on May 4th.
Well, people may remember Pokemon Go last summer, which was also augmented reality, where you would actually look at reality, but then these Pokemons would be inserted into that reality. I know it's kind of a flip way of describing it, but in a sense, that's what you got here, right?
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of similarities. I played a lot of Pokemon Go with my grandson, and he's just he's crazy about it. But it really highlights, I think, how this the augmented and virtual reality segment of the tech industry is really taking off and providing some terrific kinds of actual business productivity enhancements for small businesses all across the industry here in the state of Michigan. So kudos again to companies like OPS Solutions for really grabbing on to a technological development and finding a way to make it practical and useful for businesses.
Also coming up, you have your annual meeting, and that one, I think, is in June, right?
It is. It comes up on June 24th in Lansing. And we try to have kind of a themed presentation speaker program for the annual meeting. This year is called Tales from the Tank, How Three Michigan Small Business Owners Survived the Shark Tank TV Show.
Mm.
And we've got a company from Granville called Fun Cakes, where they will, instead of having to buy an entire expensive fancy cake for your wedding or other event, they kind of they put together kind of a shell or a facsimile that's reusable. So you can buy inexpensive cake to feed the guests, but you have a really fancy kind of a centerpiece to enhance all the hoopla of the wedding. So that was kind of cool. The second one, Geek My Tree from Grand Haven. They use enhanced computer projection to really turn your Christmas tree or holiday tree into an audiovisual extravaganza.
Hmm.
And then finally, McClary Brothers Drinking Vinegars from Farmington. I actually saw these guys at the Making It in Michigan conference in Lansing this past spring. And, you know, drinking vinegars, it's a different way to enhance, you know, both alcoholic and non-alcoholic beverages. Just another, you know, great example of an innovative company. And they're going to come to our annual meeting and really talk about, you know, what was it like to be in a really high-profile TV show like Shark Tank, and, you know, what are the lessons they learned that might be applicable to any small business in the state.
Drinking vinegar. So that you don't actually drink vinegar, do you?
Well, some people do. You know, they cut it with water. They think it has health benefits. But I think the idea behind these guys is they have different flavored vinegars, and it's meant to enhance cocktails and other kinds of beverages, relaxation beverages.
Sort of like bitters or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, good. All right, so let's talk about some of your upcoming SBAM Engage events. I know that's one of the big things that you guys get into, lots of events where people can be right there hands-on, meet other entrepreneurs, that sort of thing. Talk about those.
Well, we've done dozens of these across the state over the last couple of years, and it's exciting for us because it gives us a chance to really connect with our members on a personal basis out at various locations. And in a sense, we kind of bring the roadshow to them. And each Engage event is hosted at an SBAM member's place of business. And the typical program will feature, you know, a greeting from the business owner who describes what he or she is doing at their place of operation. We have the local state representative or state senator come in and talk about political engagement for small businesses. And then we take a few minutes. Rob Fowler generally participates in these. He's our president and CEO, and talks about what you as an SBAM member can get out of your membership through participation, by taking advantage of our products and services, but most of all by really harnessing the network effect, the way that your participation in SBAM gives you access to other amounts of expertise and kinds of intellectual stimulation from your fellow small business owners in your area. So we got a couple of those coming up in April. April 10th, we'll be back in Detroit. And this is going to be really a cool one to go to because it will involve presentations and tours at Jolly Pumpkin, which is a dining and a craft brew establishment, and also Shinola, the famous makers of the Detroit manufactured wristwatches. So that'll be in Detroit on April 10th. And then April 25th through the 28th, we're going to do a road show in the Upper Peninsula. From one end of the Upper Peninsula to the next, eating pasties at every stop, I suspect. But we're working out the details and all of that, but that'll be exciting because we found that small business owners in the UP are so excited to have people come to them. And they are, I think because they're on their own so much, they're really dynamic and eager to participate. So these are a real treat to get a chance to go to the UP and meet with those entrepreneurs up there.
Well, hopefully in late April, the snow will have melted, right? I'm not sure what the conditions are up there, but I know they get a lot of snow. So,
They definitely do. They definitely do.
Let's talk a little bit about, obviously we cater to a technology audience. Why would technology entrepreneurs be interested in joining SBAM?
Well, I think you really hit onto it when you said use that word entrepreneurs. Whether you're in a high-tech field, or you've got a flower shop, or you're selling drinking vinegars, the challenges that face successful entrepreneurs are so similar across all kinds of industry classifications. Every entrepreneur is worried about trying to find good employees in this environment, this economic environment. They have to deal with finance. They have to deal with succession issues. They have to deal with taxes.
Everything.
All those kinds of things. And especially here as we're approaching April 15th, taxes are on everybody's mind.
Right.
But so whether you're a tech company or any kind of a firm, the way that you get to connect with other business owners through the Small Business Association is really priceless. It can be with other tech owners that you may collaborate with, even though they're potential competitors. But it could be men and women outside your field completely who have insights on business success that may not have occurred to you within your particular field. Again, that's that diversity, that wide breadth of the representation we have in our association, I think is really valuable to tech companies as well as firms in any kind of industry across the state.
Well, certainly, if you start a business, you're good at something, but you're not good at everything. And so there's a lot of folks, a lot of members in SBAM, say, that are in PR or, finance or CPAs or, all those sorts of skills that most people, when they run a business, really don't have. So, I mean, that's really a good benefit as well, right?
Well, absolutely. And, we're going to be rolling out here this spring through our website an opportunity for our members to do business with other members. So if you are looking, as you noted, for tax services, or you need help recruiting employees, or something along the lines of building maintenance, or facilities, logistics, and you want a chance to do that with do that kind of business with other small businesses to help support the entrepreneurial economy, we're going to be able to help facilitate that here in the very near future. Again, it's that network effect. The more people participate in the association, take advantage of the expertise that's available through their fellow members, the more valuable their membership is, and the more everybody gets out of participating in SBAM.
Yes. And then there's the insurance benefit. I mean, of course, we still have Obamacare. That didn't go away. But you've got a lot of programs involved with insurance, so people can get plugged into that, right? Health insurance, different types of insurance.
Well, absolutely. And also life and disability. And a successful small business nowadays, especially as we've been talking in this environment where it's so hard to get good quality talent, they really need to offer a wide variety of member benefits. We help them tap into that. We have programs that are tailored specifically to the needs of small businesses. And it's just one more way that you can become successful and stay successful and really get the most out of being a member of SBAM.
Okay. And for those folks that can't physically get to the many events that you have around the state, you also offer an easy way to do it through webinars, right?
Well, we do. That's part of the educational function that we have here at SBAM. And as a communications officer, I do a lot of podcasting. We do Facebook Live videos that are designed to showcase the knowledge that other small businesses have that they want to share with their fellow entrepreneurs. In addition to that, we do webinars. In particular, coming up on March 30th, we have one called Catching Fish, P-H-I-S-H. And it's really designed to help small businesses avoid being caught by a phishing scammer. Huge problem, doesn't hit everybody, but those it does hit cost them potentially a lot of money. So it's just one of those many monthly webinars that we do that you can participate in live, or if you can't catch it live, see the archive on our website and just watch the replay.
Yeah. Okay. Got any other great ones coming up in April? Any other webinars you want to talk about?
Well, in fact, we do have one that's coming up on April 27th that is called Lockbox 101, and the Independent Bank is sponsoring and conducting that one to show small businesses how using a lockbox at a bank can reduce costs, make them more efficient, reduce the float time for their finances, and really kind of cut down on your administrative efforts. So as you can tell, we kind of cover the waterfront in these kinds of webinars. We cover everything from, a tech topic like how to reduce phishing to more operational administrative things. Anything you need to know to be a better small business owner, we offer it here through our education and communications programs.
And to join SBAM, I think the least expensive entree is, what, $99 a year?
Well, yes. I mean, in fact, we haven't even have a free entree. We'll have, if you want to kind of test the waters, you can join for free. But after that, you're really the sweet spot for getting the most out of the association is to, contribute to the cause by joining at a variety of membership levels. JoinSBAM.org is the place to go and learn all about it.
Okay. Any other things you want to cover, Michael? We got about, 2 minutes left, Jess?
Yep, about a minute and a half.
Minute and a half. So,
okay.
What else you got? Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to kind of return to the Michigan Celebrate Small Business event.
Sure.
Again, if your listeners haven't attended that, even if you're not an award winner, it's the place to go to really get your finger on the pulse of entrepreneurship in the state. Anybody who wants to get tied into what's going on in this in the dynamism of entrepreneurship growth and especially second stage companies. I know you attend every year.
Yep.
And you can probably testify to the fact that there's just such electricity there. You're meeting people who are successful, who are excited about being great small business owners. May 4th, the tickets are $135, but there's a discount for tables of eight. Well worth it. I think it's the great premier entrepreneurship event in the state for the entire year.
And sign up for that. I think it's MichiganCelebrates.biz or something, isn't it?
That's exactly right. MichiganCelebrates.biz. And put that on your calendar along with the Small Business Association of Michigan's annual meeting coming up on June 24th.
All right. Well, we've been talking to Michael Rogers, the communications, what do we call you, director, officer of SBAM?
I'm communications officer.
Okay, got it. And we get them on every month to talk about what's going on with SBAM. Disclaimer, I'm a member of SBAM, and we appreciate what you guys do for the small business in the state of Michigan. So,
well, great talking to you again, Mike.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. And, well, that's it for today. Unfortunately, Matt was out sick today. Hopefully, he'll be with us next week. But we'll be back next week from 3 to 4 p.m. on the Podcast Detroit Network. This is Mike Brennan with M Squared TechCast.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com. Thank you.